It's our weekly mailbag edition of Locked On Vols, where we take to Twitter. You guys dive in those DMs and you ask me any questions that are on your mind. Got a lot of responses here for this week. We'll get on into it. And plus, Tennessee football picked up another commit for the class of 2023. All that and more here on a Tuesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast and me on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. If you're new to the show, welcome to it. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and 99.1 The Sports Animal. I write for the Rival site, covering Tennessee football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, all that and more. That's FallQuest.com. What we do here on Tuesdays is we take it to Twitter and you guys ask me any questions that you guys have. And I really, really appreciate all the responses that we got in for this week. And without further ado, we'll go ahead and get into it. This is Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Hitter 94, what does it say about Lenith Whitehead that he was given the nod to speak to the media today? And what are you hearing about him thus far to spring? I'm no scout, but while his yards per carry were high, he didn't look like the most natural back when he did carry the ball. What do you think he'll be able to provide at this position come fall? Yeah, he spoke to the media earlier on Monday, and hat tip to Bill Martin and the athletics communications department for allowing us to speak to players all across the board in spring. Sure, we're going to hear from the Hendon Hookers. You know, we heard from him last week. We're going to hear from the star players on both sides of the football, but spring practice and camp are an opportunity for us to hear from some of the younger guys, some of the freshmen, some of the newcomers, some of the backups that we likely won't talk to all year long. And Lenith Whitehead's kind of one of those players, right? Heard good things about him so far in camp. He's, Jerry Mack and Alex Goler say that he's, transformed his body. He's always been a big guy. He looks like a linebacker playing running back. You guys have heard me mention this before. He was highly thought of as a linebacker coming out of high school. In fact, he was, highly regarded in the top 10 of linebackers in the country, but could play either one. Jeremy Pruitt gave him the opportunity to play running back in this offense, and so that's why he chose to come to Tennessee. He was asked earlier on Monday, have you ever given any thought about wanting to go play linebacker despite the numbers being so low and maybe there's more opportunity? And he said quickly, no. But as I tweeted out, it very much read like a hell no to me. So it looks like defense has never been anything he wants to be a part of. But, I mean, ultimately, that's his choice, right? I don't know what the staff would have said if he would have said, hey, I want to go play linebacker. They would have probably given him some run, right? But this staff wants at least four healthy running backs that they can count on to play in football games. And if anything from last year proved that, it was the fact that Tennessee couldn't rely on Tyon Evans, Jabari Small to be healthy throughout stretches of the season. Jalen Wright went through some injury struggles. Lenith Whitehead even got hurt at points in time. So you need about four guys to play running back in this offense, really any offense in the SEC. But Lenith Whitehead, he's a big guy. It looks like he's more comfortable running the football in this offense. I asked him on Monday, hey, you're a guy that can fit many different molds and many different offenses. What's intriguing about this offense compared to many others? Because when I look at Lenith Whitehead, he is a power eye, tailback, right? He just, kind of said the pace. He didn't really say anything about how it opens up or there's a lot of running lanes because you're so spread out or anything like that. Because he just said pace, tempo. It creates a lot of opportunity. So, I mean, that was a good answer. But one thing Jerry Mack did say on Monday was Lenith Whitehead is easily the best pass protector of the bunch. And I asked him about that as well. And he said, hey, I played linebacker in high school. So I am very much about the physicality. I don't shy away from it. So, I would expect him to be your third or fourth string running back to get minimal opportunities during the season. Hopefully during short yardage situations, Tennessee can turn to him. But he is a running back, and it looks like he is liking the role that he has on this team as of right now. We will go to Jay Grass. Let's see here. Was wondering if Vol Hoops is closing in on another transfer, recruit, or targets for the 2022 class. I see we just missed out on Brandon Murray from LSU, which is too bad. It is too bad indeed. That would have been a nice little pickup for Tennessee. The only other player in the transfer portal, to my knowledge, again, I'm not going to lie to you, I cover basketball. We talk basketball on this podcast. We talk basketball on the radio show, but I don't cover basketball like I cover football. So, I mean, I'm dialed in and everything, but I know everything about the big board for football. At least I think I know a lot. Maybe I shouldn't say everything. I'm sure there's stuff I don't know. But I don't follow the board, if you will, for basketball like I do football. But the only other one to my knowledge that there's some interest in right now in the transfer portal with Murray gone would be Tyreek Key, Indiana State point guard. He is initially from Tennessee, so that could be a guy that Tennessee has some interest in with now Murray electing to go elsewhere. We will move on and go to Brian. Brian wants to know, very excited about the Nico commit and the hype. Slight concern he's getting an incredible amount of hype and pressure with the senior season still to go. Going to be tough to live up to those expectations being set. Am I being a get-off-my-lawn guy, or should there be concern about the amount of celebrity treatment he's receiving? Name, image, and likeness will only compound things. Absolutely. And you're exactly right. Name, image, and likeness will it'll certainly kind of accelerate the hype, if you will. It'll accelerate the expectations, if you will, because this is a new era in college football and college athletics. Essentially, you are getting, you know, profitable off your name, image, and likeness to come to a university, not from the university. I want to make that clear. But, you know, it's no secret that Nico is going to, you know, make a whole lot of money coming to Tennessee. And so if he has a bad game, if he's not starting, then it's just, oh, well, all that money going to waste, or, you know, paying all this money to sit on the bench, whatever the case may be. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Taven Jackson is going to have a leg up on him this time next year because he's been in the system for a year and he's gone through a season. Joe Milton, if he's still on the roster, he'll be the front runner to win the starting job. Maybe Tennessee goes to the transfer portal to try to find a short-term fix, a veteran, if you will, that Nico can sit behind and watch. I don't know, but I got to be completely honest with you. Sure, name, image, and likeness will add to it, but hasn't it always been like this? I mean, guys, it's a dog and pony show, man. I go cover these recruiting events, and I'm not trying to make fun of Tennessee because it's not just Tennessee. It's everywhere. It's every big-time football program in the Southeastern Conference and around the Power 5 landscape. The balloons, the treatment that these guys get, obviously on social media, but when you come to campus, I mean, they're treated like kings, and that's a cool experience for a kid. I mean, it's got to be. That's awesome. But it's always kind of been like this, right? But I'm with you. Anytime there's a highly regarded prospect coming to the University of Tennessee, there's always unreal expectations placed upon them, right? It just kind of, and when you're a quarterback, it's even more than that. I mean, think about Harrison Bailey, right? He finally got some playing time towards the end of his freshman season. But remember, he missed a lot of camp his true freshman season. 2020 was a weird year. Even when he was in camp, there were so many guys out with COVID or in COVID protocols that when you would go 4-spot during practices, you could only go 2-spot. That meant Harrison Bailey was splitting reps with Brian Maurer and JT Shrout whenever Jared Garantano was getting all the runs. So, and then when he finally got in there, I mean, he did okay, but still it's like, why isn't this guy Trevor Lawrence? So, absolutely. I hear you. You're not get off my lawn guy, but certainly there is some things to, you know, be wary of. And then finally, we'll go to Marty here in this segment before we come back. What are the long-term plans for Tony Vitello? What does he have for Blake Tidwell? And, you know, what's that going to look like? You know, as of right now, I think Blake Tidwell is going to continue to get stretched out. I think the plan is to not rush him back. Obviously, you don't need him to be rushed back. But the plan is to get him stretched out to become a starter. Now, if he takes the place of somebody in the weekend rotation right now, I think that'd be incredibly hard to do right now, then so be it. But by postseason, you will need 4 starters. And what a luxury it will have to have Blake Tidwell in that 4-man rotation, if you will, for the SEC tournament, for regional play, for super regional play, and then, of course, for the World Series if Tennessee were to reach Omaha again, which I'm expecting. So the plan right now is for Blake Tidwell to stretch out. He pitched 2 innings last midweek game. We'll see if he gets a start tonight at Smoky Stadium against Tennessee Tech. That announcement has not been made as at the time of this recording on Monday evening, but I would expect him to get the start. Let's see if he goes 2 innings. Let's see if he goes 3 innings. He looked really, really good last week in his midweek bout. Went 2 innings, struck out 4, gave up 1 single, and his fastball hit 97 at his highest velocity. So that's the plan right now for Blake Tidwell. Nothing's concrete, so we'll have to see. But baseball's always got a way of kind of working itself out. Guys, great stuff there. We'll come back with some more mailbag questions when Locked On Vols returns. I about said TSL, that's the starting lineup. When Locked On Vols returns. But right now, I want to tell you about Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your sports betting stats, sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. You guys know I'm a big baseball guy. Get your futures in on MVPs, on league championships, on World Series picks, whatever the case may be. Cy Young, get them in right now. It's still the early stages of the season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and a whole lot more. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn about the latest trends and all of the action. That's at BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, your Tuesday edition of your first listen. That is Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. We continue on with our mailbag edition, Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. And we head on over to Shane. Shane wants to know, who were the in-state recruiting prospects that the Vols are in best shape with? Well, it's funny. Shane asked this question this morning at 9:12, or I guess Monday morning at 9:12 Eastern Time. And by 11:15-ish, Tennessee had an in-state football commit in Nathan Robinson. So I was going to say Nathan Robinson, but I thought I'd just wait and let the news break that Nathan Robinson was going to commit, and so he did, and we'll get more on him and tell you all about Nathan Robinson, Tennessee's newest commit, the sixth commit for the class of 2023, coming up later in the show. But, of course, Tennessee's already got commits from Aiden Bussell, in-state offensive lineman from Mount Juliet, Nate Spillman, in-state wide receiver from Lipscomb Academy in the Nashville area, Nathan Robinson, who I just mentioned. So already three in-state commits for Tennessee, where it had only two in the entire 2022 cycle. So that is significant. Tennessee should get a couple more. Some of the other notables that Tennessee likes, and I'll start in level of importance. Don't take it to the grave here, but Tennessee loves Caleb Herring. He is the brother of Elijah Herring, and Tennessee is in great shape with him. I expect him to commit to Tennessee. Caleb Herring and Tennessee are in good shape. I don't know when that's going to happen, but that's my expectation. Trevor Duncan, a lineman from Knoxville Catholic High School. He's listed as a defensive lineman, but he's got offensive tackle written all over him. He's about 6'6", 6'7", long-armed, about 275 pounds or so, maybe 260. But he's got offensive lineman written all over him, offensive tackle, because this offense loves long athletic tackles. Trevor Duncan is Tennessee's very high on Trevor Duncan. Max Carroll is a three-star safety that Tennessee's in on from Memphis. Marquess Taylor, he's a three-star athlete from McKenzie, Tennessee. Deshaun Bishop, Knoxville Carnes running back, three-star running back that Tennessee likes. Bryson Sanders is a guy that Tennessee is very high on. From a Baylor school, and I've spoken to Bryson many, many times, written a couple stories on him, and he is going to choose between Tennessee and LSU and a couple other schools, but he'll be nearing a decision probably in the next month or so. But Bryson Sanders is the guy that Tennessee likes. Justin Brown is a wide receiver from the Mid-State that Tennessee really likes as well, but he would be kind of on that tier two of wide receivers. You got Carnell Tate at the top, Kyler Casper, and Noah Rogers. Then the second tier, in my opinion, would be Devin Hyatt. Devin Hyatt could be a floater between tier one and tier two, in my opinion, but it would be Devin Hyatt. Then it'd be Justin Brown and a couple other receivers as well. So those are some other ones that Tennessee's in on. Starts with Caleb Herring, Trevor Duncan, Bryson Sanders, Max Carroll, Marquess Taylor, Deshaun Bishop, and Justin Brown. Good question there from Shane. We'll continue on. We'll go to Shelray. And Shelray asks, hey man, just wondering if you could, if you can, share with us how some of the walk-ons are looking, doing after this upcoming scrimmage. I'd love to know how Jackson Hanna is looking, along with Schuler, the tight end from UCF, if he's there. Thanks, man. All right, yeah, so I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know all the names of the walk-ons, and I probably should, but there are a couple that Tennessee brought in. You mentioned Jackson Hanna. He played linebacker for Nebraska. He was a scholarship player at Nebraska. He is from Tennessee and wanted to come back to Tennessee and walk on. Tennessee was so thin in the secondary, this second scrimmage that we talked about yesterday, and I think I mentioned it. If not, I apologize. Jackson Hanna had to play the star position. And Brian Jean-Marie last week, when he met with the media, was asked about some of the walk-ons. And he said, yeah, Jackson Hanna played in space a lot in Nebraska. So and that's what he's kind of doing here with us. And so he's comfortable doing that. I didn't take that as he was practicing a star. Now, he was practicing with the linebackers. He's been practicing with the linebackers when the media's been out there. But Tennessee is so thin on defense right now that on second-string defense, a walk-on linebacker, Jackson Hanna, was playing the star position in those scrimmages. Brock Bauer, I believe, is the tight end's name from UCF. You know, I've seen him. I mean, he looks the part. He is humongous. Tennessee would love to play more than just the two tight ends that they're playing right now in Jacob Bourne and Princeton Fant. But I think Julian Nixon's progress might halt Brock Bauer from seeing the field. Miles Campbell is not practicing right now. Potentially he can have something to say about it. And then, of course, remember next year, you're bringing in a four-star tight end and Ethan Davis as well. So we'll have to see. But Bauer looks the part. I would love to see him at H-back. I would love to see him down there blocking for Tennessee, you know, in the run game. But certainly, you know, if he can do any of those things, he will play because Tennessee wants to play multiple, I mean by that, more than two tight ends at one time at certain points in the ballgame. And then the last one you ask about is Navy Shuler. I mean, he's looked fine, right? I mean, it's great to have Navy Shuler here at Tennessee. Obviously, his father's a legend. I think he wanted to be at Tennessee. I think he wanted to wear the orange. He's never going to play, and that's okay, right? I mean, I'm sure in his mind, I talked to him when he transferred. And he said, hey, I'm going to come in here and do whatever I can to help this team win. And that's the mindset you want to have, whether that's being a great scout team quarterback, whether that's being a coach in the film room, whether that's being another set of eyes on the sideline, or whether that's pushing for a starting job. I think he'll do any of that. I don't project him ever pushing for a starting job. He is, the quarterback depth chart, I would phrase it like this right now. Hooker at the top, Milton, Taven Jackson. I would go Gaston Moore next, and then I would go Navy Shuler. But, it's good to see him out there. It's really neat to see the number 21 out there throwing a football for Tennessee. Appreciate that, and some good questions there. Good questions for sure. We'll move on over to the Locked On Vols account, and we will go to Brennan. Brennan wants to know, let's see here, what is the new capacity of Neyland Stadium after the renovations are done with? Man, I meant to check on this. I saw this earlier today. I apologize. I want to say 92,000-93,000, but I'm not sure. Much like last week's Twitter Tuesday episode, I will ask around. I will confirm that, and I'll try to come back on tomorrow's show and give you a definite answer. It's definitely less than 102,455. It's definitely less than that right now, I'll tell you that. 102,455 is counting literally everybody in the stadium. I think it's going to be around 90. They might say 95. That's probably counting everybody, but I will double check on that, so don't hold me to that. We'll move on to Sawyer. Question for the next Tuesday, who is the most important player on offense, not named Hendon Hooker or Cedric Tillman? Good question, and I'm going to give you an out-of-the-box answer. The answer is Cooper Mays, your starting center. We saw last year when he was out, he missed a lot of time and how Tennessee had to play musical chairs shuffling around that offensive line, your starting left guard to center and Jerome Carvin, and that weakened your offensive line because then you had a rotating cast of characters playing that left guard spot. You had Ollie Lane, who played well at times. You had Kingston Harris before he got hurt. Jackson Lampley played a little bit as well. It was not a good situation to be in. So not only is Cooper Mays that important to the offensive line units, but you don't have a backup center, at least right now. And they're trying to get Addison Nichols to be a guy that they can count on to go in and snap the ball if needed. But I think that he's still, I mean, again, he's 12 practices into his college career. He's not ready yet, right? So I will say Cooper Mays, without a doubt, is probably the most important player for Tennessee on offense, not named Hendon Hooker or Cedric Tillman. Last one we will get into, and we'll head on over to the Facebook page. Eric does a great job sending questions there every single week. Dominic Bailey and Jackson Lampley were both highly ranked linemen that I was excited about when they signed. Do you think either one will ever play a significant role on this team? Yeah, good question, man. I think the, and again, anything can happen, okay? I would have never pegged Jackson Lampley to get some snaps. I can't remember what game it was. It might have been South Alabama. There was a game where, obviously, Cooper Mays was hurt. Maybe it was before that. There was a game where Cooper Mays was hurt. Jerome Carvin was playing center. Kingston Harris was out. Ollie Lane was not feeling great. And Javonte Spraggins was sick. And so you needed guards in the worst way. And Jackson Lampley played a lot of significant snaps that game. And, I mean, he did a fine job. But I was still shocked that he got that opportunity to be completely honest. And that's not me ragging on him whatsoever. It's just he's not played that role in his entire collegiate career so far. I think it's probably past, you know, his time to have a significant role in this team. But again, anything can happen. As far as Dominic Bailey, he redshirted last year. And he's a guy that I talked to. I remember this I remember this perfectly. I spoke with an assistant coach back in the fall towards the end of the season, and I said, hey, who are some guys that are going to help you on the defensive line next year that are not currently in the picture right now? And one of the first names he mentioned was Dominic Bailey. He said, hey, we love Dominic Bailey. He's working hard. He's getting better. He's getting bigger. So we'll see about that. I mean, he was rotating in with the twos in that second scrimmage. I think Tyree West will outplay him and play over him. I think, you know, to my knowledge, I think he's playing that defensive end type role, that five technique, that Tyler Barron, Tyree West position is Dominic Bailey. We'll see. But, you know, he was getting some good reviews back in the fall, even though he was redshirting. So we'll see. You can never have enough defensive linemen. Dominic Bailey has not played a factor on this football team so far, but that could change. Eric, do appreciate the question. Guys, awesome job. Two full segments of your Twitter Tuesday questions every single Tuesday right here on Locked On Vols. Tennessee picked up its sixth commit for the class of 2023, and it came from the in-state. We'll tell you who and tell you all about him when Locked On Vols returns. Just a little bit left here on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane. Welcome back into it, guys. Appreciate your time today. Tennessee picked up its sixth commit for the class of 2023, and it was a priority target for Rodney Garner in Nathan Robinson. Nathan Robinson is from Greenbrier, Tennessee. Nathan Robinson played linebacker his entire life, but then he's gained 30 pounds this offseason. He is 6'6". He's nearing 280, 285 pounds right now, and he has shot up this offseason. He's a guy that came to Tennessee last summer in camp. Came in as a linebacker. Tennessee looked at him and said, hey, why don't you go over to the defensive line and do some drills? He did. Tennessee liked what they saw, decided, hey, let's continue to bring him back. Let's continue to have him evaluated. Let's watch him. Let's put him on the board. And they've continued to watch him. They got him up here a couple of times. He even had an Instagram post this, I think it was earlier in March. He was on campus this past weekend as well, but he was tagging Jack Luttrell in an Instagram post or something saying, me and Jack Luttrell having a contest for who can have the most visits to Tennessee. And both of those guys still have a senior season to go. So, but Nathan Robinson is a guy that is has been, Rodney Garner's been after and wanted to bring in since getting him back on campus this fall. And he was able to close the book on him on Monday. Nathan Robinson joins a class comprised of five-star quarterback Nikeo Iamaliava, four-star tight end Ethan Davis, three-star offensive lineman Aiden Bussell, three-star defensive back Jack Luttrell, and three-star wide receiver Nate Spillman. He's the third in-state prospect to commit to the University of Tennessee. Again, as I mentioned earlier, already surpassing two from the entire 2022 class for Josh Heupel. A scouting report. I have all this at VolQuest.com in my impact analysis if you want to go check it out and read it there. But this is from John Elmore, who is the Greenbrier head football coach. Quote, in our 3-3 stack, he is normally our Sam linebacker. We did put in some four-man line and put him on the ground some last year. There's one game that comes to mind where he had around 3 or 4 sacks once we moved him down there, so it is a natural position for him. He's a leader. He truly is a leader. He's an intelligent young man. His work ethic is wonderful. He gets along with the players. He'll be a leader. We don't get players like Nathan very often. He's a once-in-a-generation type player. That's the truth. It makes you proud that he's come in and worked so hard. He's earned it. Again, that is from Nathan Robinson's high school football coach, John Elmore. Again, I mentioned he's 6'6". He's nearing his rival's profile. It's completely wrong. It says he's 6'6", 248. He's about 6'6", I would say 277 right now, likely. And again, he's a tight end and a linebacker in high school. Watch his huddle tape, though, and he's got good feet. He runs his feet on contact. He's got good vision. He looks through the offensive line to the back to find the ball carrier. He's athletic. He makes plays. He's got long strides. All that. Plus, when you put him on the ground in a three-point stance, he's a guy that really gets after the quarterback, splits double teams very well, and he has no clue how to play defensive line right now, again, because he's not done it at a very high level, hasn't done it at a high amount of reps, and so he'll learn to do that more. I would project him. He'll play some linebacker this fall, I'm sure, but you know, and watching an interview done by Brent Hubbs at VolQuest.com with John Elmore, the head coach at Greenbrier, it kind of got the sense that he's going to use him on the defensive line a lot more this year, and it would probably be, you know, I know that, you know, Greenbrier is trying to go out and win games and win a state championship of their own, but they don't really care about the University of Tennessee in that sense. But it would probably behoove Nathan Robinson to play a lot more defensive line than he has played in the past, so we'll have to see. Again, he will be a guy that will play a five technique. He's a pass rusher that will play that more traditional defensive end type role, that Tyler Barron type role in the defense, where Tyler Barron is now, not where he was. Where he was, that's where Byron Young is. That's called a Leo position. This guy will be have a hand in the dirt. He'll be on the other side, which is where Jaquan Blakely played the last couple years for, this past year for Tennessee. So, Nathan Robinson, he'll be a work in progress. He'll have to develop. He'll have to learn proper technique. He will have to continue to get in a great nutritional program at the University of Tennessee. But he is, like when you see him up close in person, he looks like a baby in a man's body. I mean, he's tall. You can tell he's strong. He's got big arms. He's got big hands. He's very attractive to a veteran defensive line coach and seeing his potential. And his tape looks really, really good. So Nathan Robinson commits to the University of Tennessee, a three-star from Greenbrier High School. 6'6", we'll call him 275 right now officially. He will play defensive line for the University of Tennessee. So where does that leave Tennessee going next? Now you got six guys in the boat. Let's see where per Rivals where the team ranking is right now. But in the meantime, again, I mentioned in the last segment, Tennessee loves Caleb Herring. We'll have to see exactly when and if that happens. I do believe it'll happen, just a matter of when. Trevor Duncan, Tennessee loves. We'll have to see if it's going to come down likely between Tennessee and Kentucky. So we'll see exactly what Trevor Duncan decides to do and what his timeline is. Tennessee likes Bryson Sanders, his timeline. He's going to want to make a commitment sooner rather than later, an offensive lineman from Baylor School. We'll have to see about that. Brandon Chozier, a fast-rising cornerback from the Atlanta area. Tennessee is very good position there, and we'll have to see if they can close it out. Sylvester Smith, the defensive back from Alabama, Tennessee really, really likes. I think Tennessee's high on his radar. So those are some of the prospects to be keeping in mind, you know, in the very near future on maybe who could go next and who Tennessee is in a great position with. According to Rivals, Tennessee is now up to six total commits, has a team ranking of ninth in the country, and we'll go through and see who is in front of Tennessee. Notre Dame currently has a top team in the country with nine total commits, 8 4-stars, 1 5-star. That is not bad. Texas Tech is at number two with 14 total commits, 5 4-stars, 9 9-stars. 9 3-stars, third time's a charm, right? Arkansas is third with 10 commits. Wow, that's impressive. 7 3-stars, 3 4-stars. Penn State is fourth in the country, 9 total commits. Georgia is fifth in the country, 7 total commits, 4 of them being 4-stars. Ohio State is sixth in the country, 6 total commits, 5 4-stars. Baylor is seventh with 9 commits, 3 4-stars. Louisville is eighth with 8 total commits, 1 4-star, 7 3-stars, and then comes Tennessee, ninth in the country per Rivals, 6 total commits, 1 5-star, 1 4-star, and 4 3-stars. So that makes Tennessee the third team in the SEC right now, according to the Rivals rankings, behind Arkansas and Georgia. So Tennessee reels in, Rodney Gardner reels in, Nathan Robinson of Greenbrier High School. He becomes Tennessee's sixth commit for the class of 2023. That's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Thank you guys so much for sending me in your mailbag questions each and every Tuesday. It's Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. Guys, the NFL draft is just a couple weeks away. Velus Jones, Lonte Taylor, Cade Mays, Matthew Butler. Where are these guys going to be drafted? Dial into the Locked On NFL Draft. They may have some great analysis about our VFLs here. They may tell you about it. They may project where they could go, potentially. Check it out. Locked On NFL Draft. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, which we know is your first listen every single weekday morning when you wake up on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. Guys, thanks so much. We will do it again tomorrow for a Wednesday show. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.